Right, hello and welcome everyone to episode 50 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. And today we have more SBC gaming news. Today I'll be covering a whole slew of news I found on all of these subreddits. Before we begin, I would like to thank everyone for dropping by and listening. I really genuinely do appreciate it. I've been consciously trying to describe the things that I see with my words more often so that the audio-only format is more accessible to the people listening to the podcast episodes. Hopefully it transfers over a lot better, but if you would like more visual aids, I will include the link to the YouTube video and a link to my blog if you want to read any written articles as well. Before we begin, I was eating broccoli. I don't really like broccoli, so I put a bunch of seasoning on it to make it a little bit better. I threw some salt, added pepper, some bay seasoning, some garlic powder. And while it didn't taste good, it tasted not quite like broccoli, so I was okay with it. Anyways, why don't we get into the show? Okay, welcome back, fellas. We got more news, and this is the second time recording this because I totally forgot to use my phone. Anyways, as always, I'll have everything timestamped below for your convenience so you can skip around. I will also include all the links, all the sources, so you can look at it yourself. And we'll start with new hardware, followed by buyer advice, and then bugs, fixes, and updates, and then user creations. Sometimes I might have a channel highlight or channel spotlight, but I didn't find any new channels right now, so they'll be blank for today. Alright, before we begin, I'll do something new. I want to go over some comments left on my videos. I'm very blessed right now. I'm getting a lot more views on my videos than I normally do, so thank you very much for dropping by and watching. I really do appreciate it. I am trying my best to make the videos as well as I can, but I'm very limited in my skill set, so this is the best I can do. If you guys are patient with me, I should get better over time. Anyways, we got Sato Stockman 9674. Hey, thanks for always watching my videos, buddy. Leaves very nice comments. Always enjoy listening to these. Thank you for the vids. Yeah, I thought no one watches these, but I got a comment, so thank you very much. Also, we got Capitone Planet. I guess Captain Planet. And it said that the RG556 looks amazing, actually. So at first I thought it was just mediocre, but then I saw some reviews and I was like, you know what? The screen actually looks very nice. I wouldn't mind getting it just to play PSP games on it. All right, we got some more. I've been, again, very blessed with the performance on my Miu Mini Plus videos. Thank you very much for dropping by and watching. I normally get like 10 views and this got like 2,000, so that's amazing. I feel great right now. Thank you very much. Hey, we got Saito again. Saito, thanks for dropping by, man. Nostalgia is one hell of a drug. As always, if you leave a comment, I try my best to answer it. And if I forget something or if I have a fix, I usually leave a comment here. All right, this is from Eric Larson. You don't have to worry about losing progress on games by updating Onion. That is highly unlikely to happen because you're copying over Onion OS files, and so you will not lose the game save states or save files unless you format the card. When you are updating, you just drag the files over and overwrite the Onion OS files. So you're perfectly safe, but if you are paranoid and you want to make sure you're 100% safe, always backup everything and then make a backup of the backup and then make a backup of the backup of the backup. If you want to be paranoid, always make a backup. This is an interesting post from AustinSmith6317. Can you enable sound while fast forwarding? I couldn't figure it out for Drastic, so I was like, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe they'll update it. This is interesting because most people seem to not like sound while updating or fast forwarding, I mean. And this person wanted it because when you fast forward, the sound is very high pitched. I know some emulators will fast forward the game, but not the sound. I think that's the ideal situation, but... Alright, this is from Alexi. I'm not going to try to read the name because I'm going to mess it up, but... Yeah, Ace Attorney is playable. He said it was going to dump the Ace Attorney ROMs on his RG35XX+. That's awesome because that's more power, so it'll run better. But yeah, I love Ace Attorney. The only games I haven't played are like the spin-off games. Professor Layton spin-off games. I think I pretty much played everything in the Ace Attorney series. Alright, to start off the video, why don't we take a look at this post from Deep Slacker Jazz. They made a super lovely Steam Deck and RGB 30 stand. It looks amazing. The great part is for the RGB 30 stand, imagine it's surrounded by flowers, Lego flowers and succulents. And then when you take the RGB 30 off, there's an even tinier Lego RGB 30 behind it. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, this person clearly likes Legos and they're very talented at making custom builds. Okay, going into new hardware, we're starting off with the RGB 20SX. This was posted by user CB990 in the SBC Gaming subreddit. And I gotta say, I really like the colorway here for the tan one. I'm very partial to kind of the colorways that are more wild. I like the traditional black, white. I really like translucent purple because that's the color I had for my Game Boy Color. So fond memories, nostalgia, one hell of a drug there. This is posted from retrohandhelds.gg. There are a few other news outlets covering it. And if you are curious as to what the performance was like, I would link this handy spreadsheet that people keep up to date. And it's running an RK3566. So if you want to know, it has the same chipset as the one in the RGB 10 Max 3 and the RG Arc and the X55. And yeah, the Miu Mini Flip's going to have it. So that's pretty good. And you can take a look and it's going to have pretty good emulation performance. You can expect some N64 games to play, some Dreamcast games to play, and some PSP games to play. That sounds amazing. It's wishful thinking, but I hope that it's very cheap. So if you can get this device sub 60, I think that would be pretty cool. I think that'll be great. It also has a 1x1 screen. So if we take a look here. So if you like the RGB 30, it's going to have a 720x720 screen. So if you like those square screens, this will be for you. Alright, this is by Joey's Retro Handhelds, and he had a pretty in-depth review for the GameForce Ace, and unfortunately, it does not seem like a console worth buying. It has too many problems. In fact, there's one glaring problem, and I don't know why it is this way, but the device he got was locked to 53 frames per second. That was the screen's default, and it made everything run very poorly. And you had to use some hacks to get games to run properly. You can tell by the audio. So yeah, there were a lot of people posting problems with the controls not working, the screen being terrible. And that's unfortunate because this device is not cheap. You're paying hundreds of dollars for a device that is essentially just a very expensive paperweight. I like honest reviews. I hope the device gets better over time, but that's just unfortunate. Okay, this is from Retro Game Core. He got a preview unit of the Aya Neo Pocket S, and so far it looks pretty neat. The performance is very powerful. You're gonna probably expect similar performance along the Odin 2. The downside is this is Aya Neo, fellas. We know that the we know the handle is gonna probably cost around $400-$450. So my thinking is it looks nice. It looks sleek. If someone gave one to me for free, I would take it. But if I had to pay my own money, at that point, I would just buy an Odin 2. That's hands down. Why buy this over an Odin 2? Now, if you want it a smaller form factor, it's essentially around the same size as a Switch Lite. I guess that would make sense, but you're paying extra for that. A lot. I'm not talking about $20 more than the Odin 2. It's going to be $100 or $150 or maybe more. We'll see what the price is. But yeah, it looks like a nice device for sure. And I think a lot of people, not a lot, but there are definitely people who will want this over the Odin 2. But for people with, a set budget, it doesn't make sense to me. Okay, this is from the Retro Tech Dad, and he reviewed the 1X Player X1. It didn't look as good as I thought it would be, because when we take a look at the actual performance of games, it performs worse than the ROG Ally Z1 Extreme Edition and the GPD Win Mini. When you look at the benchmarks just the scores, it scores pretty well. In fact, it scores higher than the ROG Ally. I think this is due to driver support being pretty lacking for the device. Yeah, it doesn't bode well. It looks like a very sleek device. If you go back and look, it looks very nice. It looks like a very compact package. There's a detachable keyboard you can use. You can use it as a laptop replacement, but it's also $1,000. So when you put it that way, the ROG Ally, even the Legion Go, all of those, they look like way better substitutes than this. So the only benefit is the larger screen. I don't know if that's worth paying an extra $100, because you can totally use an ROG Ally or a Legion Go or even a Steam Deck as a PC replacement if you get a dock and have a setup where you can just put it in there and use a keyboard and mouse. I'm not entirely sure where this fits in, because at that point, you know, you could just get a laptop. You're inching very close to like a very nice, you know, Lenovo Legion laptop. Or any gaming laptop brand, when it's on sale, it hits very close to $1,000, and you're going to get way more performance out of it. I'm not entirely sure who this device is for, but I know there's going to be a niche audience out there that want this. So if you're looking for a big screen that you can use as a laptop, this might be for you. But be warned, it is fairly expensive. Alright, here's a video going over why the Switch Lite is still amazing in 2024. This is from Taki Udon. Technically not a new device, but there is something he mentions at the end that I thought was really neat. There will be coming a Switch Lite OLED mod. It should cost around $30 to $50, and it will have HDMI out without any hardware mods. So I think that's amazing. Also, I really like this video because it goes over all the things you can do with the Switch Lite. And you can run native Android on it. You can run native Linux on it. Once you mod it, you can overclock the CPU and the RAM. And essentially what you can do is you can always run games in dock mode on the Switch Lite, so it will look a lot better. And you can push the frame rate to be higher, so you can get 60 FPS in Breath of the Wild. I think that's amazing. I'm sure it'll kill the battery life, but you know, essentially, once you get the OLED mod in there, you're turning a Switch Lite into a Switch OLED for just $50 more. Now, for the hardware mod, I'm sure that's going to be a little bit more difficult to do, and I think the average person probably will not have the soldering skills for that, but if you do, I think it's worth checking out. I kind of want a Switch Lite to mod for myself, if once I get the money to buy one. But yeah, I think they'll be pretty neat to have. Okay, now we're going into buyer advice, and this is posted by Keo the Slayer on the Steam Deck subreddit, and it was asking if the Steam Deck was destroying SD cards. And let me tell you, you got a counterfeit card most likely. Now, Steam Decks aren't perfect. I really like the Steam Deck, but I recognize that every device has a small percentage of defective units. That's the norm. So when you see people complaining about stuff, those are the people that have problems. It doesn't mean everyone has problems, obviously, but unfortunately, it has issues. That said, I haven't really heard of the Steam Deck destroying SD cards, so most likely this is a fake one. And the guy was saying that he got it off Amazon, so I thought it was legit, right from the SanDisk store. Let me tell you, that doesn't guarantee anything, and the main reason why is Amazon uses something called commingled inventory. So if we take a look at my beautiful drawing here, just imagine a bin, and everyone throws their SD cards into the bin. That's called commingled inventory. So let's say Amazon brings in SD cards that are legitimate, they put it into this bin. SanDisk brings SD cards into the Amazon warehouse, and they put it into the same bin. And there's a third-party seller, most likely from China, coming in with their off-brand counterfeit cards that look like SanDisk cards, and they put it into the same bin. So when you buy from Amazon, they pull an SD card out from that one bin, you can get a counterfeit card. It doesn't matter who you buy it from. You would think that there's separate containers for each store. There aren't. And the reason why they don't do this is it's cheaper and more efficient to have the same item in the same bin. It's just faster. Now, if you want to get technical, you can get store-specific bins, but it usually costs more, which is why people don't do it. So there is still a very high chance you can get a counterfeit card. What I would recommend is to buy from stores or storefronts that don't do this. So I like buying from Best Buy because as far as I know, they don't have commingled inventory. The day that they do, I'm not going to ever buy from them online ever again. I'd rather go walk into a brick and mortar store and buy it myself. B&H Photo also doesn't seem to have commingled inventory. I will look for a store in your country, in your area that doesn't have commingled inventory. And if you can't find any, then you will have to go find a physical store. And if you can't find a physical store, then you're going to have to take your chances. One thing you can do is you can download a utility to test if the SD card is fake or not. So if you buy a Samsung one, Samsung already has a utility you can download from their store, from their website. If you just look up like micro SD Samsung verification utility, it should come up. You can download it and you can check if the card is real or not. You just put it into like a USB reader and then plug it in and run the app. It'll detect it and it'll say, yeah, it's real. That's the main way they kind of rip you off. Like they'll say it's a 1 terabyte card. When you plug it into your computer, it looks like a 1 terabyte card. But when you write files to it or try to format it, it just goes kaput. We have another post from the coffee shop owner in the Steam Deck subreddit. Will this work on my Steam Deck? I keep getting an error when trying to format it. He has a picture of a micro SD card, 1 terabyte, and the brand name is Ali Sinsen. I've never heard of that brand name before. Now, it could be legitimate, but yeah, if the deal is too good to be true, it's fake, fellas. It doesn't make sense. Don't take the chance because you will have to pay more money to get a legitimate card. You're going to lose money every time unless you can return it for free and get a full refund. And another related post from Timmy Timson on the Miu Mini subreddit said, I knew this day would come, just didn't expect it to happen so soon. And I said, today I woke up and wanted to play some Golden Sun on my Miu Mini Plus. Sad story, turns out the SD card is dead. Now let me tell you, I think you want it to happen earlier than later, in my honest opinion. If you care about your save files and your progress in games and playing the device itself, you want the SD card to fail early so you don't lose a lot. Now that said, my general advice is to always buy a SD card, a reputable brand from a reputable retailer, not Amazon. Amazon is terrible nowadays. They're just essentially a more expensive AliExpress. I'm not even joking. If you look at items, most of them from Chinese people importing goods to the warehouse and just selling it through Amazon. You can get it for cheaper on AliExpress. It just takes 2 weeks to get to you. Yeah, like you want to get a new SD card if you care about your progress in games. If you don't care, then you don't need to get a new SD card. Just use the stock one and use stock ROMs. And if something happens, it's like you just shrug it off, right? But I think for most people, they care. So I would recommend buying, you know, again, once again, a reputable SD card from a reputable retailer and then get your own ROM set. You can Google it. You can figure out how to get it. There's a lot of people that tell you how to get it. The reason why is the ROMs on the stock cards are usually, they're a little buggy. So like they don't really take care to have the ROMs be verified. They might be buggy, they might be a little bit corrupted, you might not be able to save in them. It might have like garbled text, it might not even work. So just take care, fellas. Okay, moving on to bugs, fixes, and updates. This is from Retro Game Core. And Emulation Station is now on Android, and he has a very excellent guide. So if you like Emulation Station, which is a front end, you can set it as the home app, it'll launch into it. Now there's some workarounds and a little bit of a drawback. You have to pay for the app from the Amazon App Store. I think it's roughly $5. And then to set it up, you have to download an app to let it boot from Emulation Station. And then once you do, you don't have access to the Android apps. So what you have to do is you have to have another app that will create basically a drawer for all your apps in Android. So you use that app once you slide down, and then you can access those apps through that. So you have to download 3 more apps, you have to pay a little bit of money, and there's a little bit of a workaround. You do lose a few things, but for the most part, I would imagine if you have an Odin 2 and the only thing you do is play games on it, I think this is very nice. It looks pretty good, and You can just boot into it, go into a game, go back into emulation station. It seems pretty seamless once you have it set up. If you don't want to do those steps, then I would just wait a little bit. Okay, we have a post from OKImplement5346. Said, my first vacation in 6 years. Short Hope Mother 3 is a nice breezy summer game. For starters, man, no vacation in 6 years. Glad you got one, bro. Hope you take it easy. But yeah, the reason why I posted this was that's a nice game. 280V looks nice. But if you want to play Mother 3, which is a very nice RPG, it's a sequel to Earthbound. I actually had a physical cartridge that I bought from Japan. It was mint in box. And I sold it for so little and now it's worth so much. And I'm like, yeah, I had a lot of very nice games. I had a very nice retro collection and I was like OCD in terms of keeping them mint and practically brand new. I had a box set for Pokemon Red and Silver and I sold it for so little. I'm so sad now. They're worth so much now. But I'm sad I sold my Game Boy Micro too. There's a post here. So if you want to play the game and you're like, oh, the audio is annoying, there's a post here from Siraji2112. Someone made a patch to improve the music quality in Mother 3. So you have to download a patcher and then you gotta get the ROM. You can use a fan translation if you want and it'll patch better audio. And basically how it does it is it takes every channel at 16-bit and then downsamples it to 8-bit and it sounds very clean. So here's a video from the YouTube channel Music Combo. Want to take a listen? Oh my god, it's so much cleaner, dude. Like, you can hear the noise and artifacting in the old mixer. This one sounds so good. So if you wanted to play, I would highly recommend checking this out. Maybe you can even get a ROM that's pre-patched. One day I will play through Earthbound and Mother 3. I just have a hard time getting into games these days. Alright, this was posted by user Pimpin' and Stuff, which was removed. And I don't know why, because I thought it was really neat. I like this post from Pragmatic Dinosaur. Hopefully the name is a work in progress as well. So what the post was about was ULWGL, or Unified Linux Wine Game Launcher. They do need to work on the game. Like, how do you even pronounce this? Wiggle? Maybe UL Wiggle? UL Wiggle? Anyways, basically what this is a unified app or front end to essentially just launch games. And then it will just automatically pull fixes without having to use different launchers. So, for example, most people use Heroic if you want to play Epic Game Store's games on the Steam Deck. And here's some features. So this is not out yet. It's in development, but everyone can use or contribute to the same Proton fixes. No more managing individual install scripts per launcher. So you can just run their games through Proton just like a native Steam game. No Steam or Steam binaries required, and a unified online database of game fixes. So if I understood this correctly, basically how it's supposed to work is when you go launch a game, it'll pull a database for the game and then pull the fixes and just fix your game, you know, so that it runs with Steam OS. So I think that's pretty cool. I think this is great if it comes to fruition. I hope it gets more traction because anything to make the gaming experience more seamless for people will be fantastic. There are a lot of people who are very tech illiterate and anything to make their life easier will be fantastic because it makes everyone's life easier. Even if you're like a Linux guru and you don't have issues with, you know, going into Linux itself and making the games work, for most of us, you know, normies, we won't be able to do that. So I think that's great. Here's something related. So this is posted by Mateo FR in the Legion Go subreddit. He was asking, what are the pros and cons of switching from Windows to Bazaar OS? For starters, you don't have to switch. You can dual boot. There's a video on YouTube by Aru going over step-by-step how to do this. Anyways, this was posted by Suki4735. I wanted to read a summary because I didn't do Bazite justice in my previous video. But yeah, the biggest one is working quick suspend and resume, no hibernation required. So you tap the button, goes into sleep, you tap it again, go back into the game. So people love this feature, and I think it makes sense because if you have a busy life, if you've got kids, you got pets, you got, you know, just have a life to live. You can't sit there playing games. Meanwhile, me on the other hand, I have a lot of time. I spend most of that grinding YouTube blogs and podcasts, but let's say if I were to play games, you know, I wouldn't have that problem. But yeah, so a lot of people wanted that, so you can have that. This is another thing people really like. Custom TDP per game. So you can set your TDP usage per game. So if you know, if you want a game to use more power, you can set it that way. If you want a game to use less power, you totally can. Per game custom fan curves. This goes hand in hand with the TDP because if you're using more power, you're going to want more cooling. And another thing is built-in scaling for games. So basically, I think this is great because at first, I didn't really like how even PC desktop games were using, you know, upscaling. Whatever flavor of upscaling there are, they would use it. And for me, that just reeked of lazy development because if you look at games made a decade ago, one of the Batman games was made like 7 years ago or something. It looks fantastic. And it runs on lower end hardware than Suicide Squad. And Suicide Squad looks worse. There's some parts that look pretty good, but it still looks worse. So I know that it's due to lazy development. And for indie devs, I get it. Like when you are an indie dev, you're just using the engine. You don't really have the know-how, or if you did, you don't have the time to go in and make things run very well. These engines are kind of bloated. But if you're like, you know, a big company and you spent like 6-7 years or you got like $1 billion, I think you can spend a little bit of time to make your game run well. You know what I'm saying? Anyways. I think the reason why it's great for these handheld computers is because like you can render the game and make it look very nice at a lower resolution and upscale it to fit the display. It'll still look very nice, use very little power, and modern upscaling doesn't introduce a lot of latency into the game. So it's a great way to make a game look very nice and fill up the entire screen and look sharp while using less power. So I think that's great. Now, ideally, games would be optimized, but we can't expect too much from modern games, even quadruple A games, right, Ubisoft? All right, we're moving on to user creations. I thought this was fake. It looks so good, but this is posted by I Am Wykian on the ROG Ally subreddit. Again, apologies if I misread your name, but this looks so clean. They posted their Ally setup, and just imagine, like, man, I'm saying this for any audio listeners, but everything's white and the lighting's perfect. There's no wires except for like one or two. And there's also a cat. And the picture looks so good. I thought the cat was fake. I thought it was like AI generated and put in there. It looks so good, fellas. Like it looks amazing. It's a very clean setup, bro. That's awesome. Okay, we have this next post from AdventurousCandy401, and they dyed their Miu Mini Plus, and it looks lovely. It's a fantastic shade of blue or turquoise. It's a very light bluish color. And I was going to say that it will look amazing if you got all white buttons. My goodness, that would be a clean custom job right there. They list the steps they took so that people who want to do it can successfully dye their console as well. So if you were interested in doing it, you can go look in this thread and they go over how to do it. We got Potato Walrus in the Miu Mini subreddit, and they designed a very nice and clean bumper case for the Miu Mini Plus. So in my opinion, if you are kind of a person with butterfingers and you like dropping stuff and you don't want to use a lanyard or you don't want to use a grip case or just a case in general, I think the bare minimum you can do is get a bumper case, and the best part is they included the file so you can print it yourself. So the bumper case looks very nice, looks very minimalistic, and they go over the revisions they made where they're just toying around with it. But yeah, if you want to support them, you can also buy one from their Etsy store if you want. Okay, moving on, we have another post from Potato Walrus. This guy is being very helpful to the community. They made a R36S reference file for anyone wanting to make their own mods or cases or grips or whatnot for the R36S. So essentially, you can just use this model and then you can build around it. And yeah, I think that's very nice. It's one less step you don't have to do for yourself. So I think that's very nice of the person to do so. Okay, we have another one from Gum Owned. This is a wallet case for the GKD Pixel and it looks very nice. It just essentially just clips onto the Pixel and you can put in some credit cards if you want. So if you wanted a minimalistic wallet which also holds your Pixel, you can get this. Okay, finally we have this post from Ty Power from the Steam Deck subreddit, and essentially this guy made a 3DS out of a Steam Deck. They have another screen attached to a monitor arm that's held to the Steam Deck by magnets, and it has hinges so you can flip it back and jerry-rig some cables to connect to the monitor, and it looks nice. You know, this is probably the cleanest one I've seen so far. But yeah, at this point, I would just get an actual 3DS. Like, the amount of time and effort you have to spend making one and the money, at that point, you're getting probably close to the cost of a 3DS anyways. Yeah, the screen costs $120, you know, and the clamshell with the detachable mount costs $50. That's $170, and that's not including the cables and adapters they use. So I think this is pretty neat, and one thing I wanted to do was I'm kind of tired of these retro handhelds being so expensive now. And so I would want to build my own 3DS. I don't know if 3DS will be able to be done cheaply with the chipsets we have now, but I'm envisioning, just think with me here, fellas, a DSi XL with a beautiful IPS screen with at least twice the resolution of the original DS. Ideally, I would want around 3 times. Perfect fit, integer scaling, 3 times resolution. Same form factor as a DSi XL, slightly longer battery life, and perfect emulation of, well, I don't know if no emulation is perfect, but like, imagine if you can have a pretty good DSi handheld for under $100 with beautiful screens. I think most people would want that, so something I'd like to do in the future, but I don't have the knowledge or the experience, so I don't even know where to start. I think that'd be cool if I can get 3DS emulation for less than $100 with like upscaling. I think that'd be awesome. I think that people would want that because I saw the reviews of the iNeo DS Flip and the screens look nice, but everything else was kind of terrible. Like the ergonomics look very bad. The joysticks look unusable. The screen, the bottom screen was a little bit too small compared to the top screen and it was placed a little bit too far away. And so it was a little bit too wide too. It's kind of hard to reach over and use your thumb or use a stylus. I think the original 3DS or 3DS XL or DSi XL, you know, that form factor is pretty good. And just having better screens and upscaling the games would be great. So that's something I would want to have. But yeah, that's going to be it, fellas. So far for things I'm thinking about. I'm still thinking about getting an M17. I was planning on getting a yellow Datafrog SF2000, but the seller ran out. So I was like, no, that was the color I wanted. Anyways, one thing I do hate about AliExpress, or I hate in general, it's just scummy, dude. The website, like, it shows you these low prices, but when you log in, it's more expensive because all those prices are something called the New Deal or Welcoming Deal, whatever it is. It's for newcomers, and you basically you save $5 in general. After that, it's gone. So, you know, I wish it was more honest. They were more transparent, but it is what it is. You have to deal with it. But yeah, and I was also going to get a RG351P or RG351M. The M seems to be out of stock and only available from other outlets, but they kind of don't look reputable, and it's a little bit too expensive. I was hoping the 351P would decrease in price since it's kind of old, but I wanted to get one, make a review for it in 2024 and see how it handles still for Game Boy Advance games, because the screen is pretty much, I heard it's pretty much perfect for Game Boy Advance. It was the only console I'm really looking forward to is the Mew Mini Flip. I'm pretty hyped about it. I am, once again, worried about the hinges lasting. I'm a little hesitant to get one on release. I think it would be wise to wait and see if there are any issues and then, you know, get it after that. But for me, I kind of want one early so I can review it. But okay, that's going to be it. Once again, thank you so much for dropping by and watching. I really do appreciate it. I know I don't really make good content, so anyone drops by and watches, I appreciate it a lot. If you guys got any questions, please feel free to let me know. I'll try my best to answer every question and every comment. If there's anything you want to see, you know, if there's any way I can change the format for y'all, let me know. Okay, that has been episode 50 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. Thank you so much for dropping by and listening. Once again, I really do appreciate it. If you would like to reach me for any reason, you can email me at duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. The email is duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. Once again, the email is duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. You can also go visit my blog, duckyobrien.com, and that will have links to everything I do. As always, hope you guys are staying safe and staying out there, and catch you guys next time.